the internet, and welcome to season 166, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's a nightmare in here today, in America's shared consciousness. It is Thursday, January 7th, 2021, a cool 13 days until January 20th. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Democrats control the Senate. Democrats control the Senate. Democrats control the Senate. We're not getting us off make turtle powder. That is courtesy of Fraggle Rock Stan account. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. smoking on that OG coup. Wow, this shit is wild as we record.
I
mean, I think as we imagined, when you have a bunch of MAGA people together and you're fanning the flames and they're on a diet of rage and misinformation, it's just gonna look pretty ugly at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at. So it is a legit violent coup attempt that we're witnessing, and I think it's wild. I mean, I'm like, even watching the news, the people on the news are having trouble saying what, like, calling it what it is. Like, these people are trying to rush the Capitol to overturn the election, even if they don't know how to do it. That's what they're there to do. And that's very unsettling.
Yeah, it's dumb storming of the Bastille without any sort of strategy or idea of what they actually want. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Vanessa Guerrero.
Hey! Oh. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. What's new with you?
That's such a weird question. Whenever there's just like a coup and a pandemic happening,
I know.
Where I'm just like, what am I doing in my life?
That's new. The coup.
We stopped asking people how are you doing, because that's not a fair question. Nobody's doing great. So now we ask what's new with you, or I do.
I love it.
And your last name is new. So
my last name is new. I went back to my maiden name. It's Guerrero, and so much more dope than what I've been working
with. It is so dope.
For the last few years, I had my ex-husband's name because it was just inconvenient to change my name. But at this point, I'm just going back to Guerrero. But yeah, I got married, so that's dope. Whoop.
That is dope.
Went from 0 cats to 3 cats since we last spoke.
What?
Ooh, okay.
Congratulations. Yeah. I don't know which deserves more congratulations.
Yeah.
Cat mama.
I'm assuming the cats.
Yeah, obviously. That's awesome. All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about. We're going to talk about Georgia. That was some good shit a couple nights ago happening down there in Georgia. It looks like the Democrats will be controlling the Senate, it's going to be a 50-50 split with Kamala Harris, breaking the tie.
Tie breaking.
We're going to talk about the Save America rally that happened as the Senate and House tried to confirm the electoral vote. Trump's Trump jazz, Donald Trump Jr.'s Donald Trump Jr. jazz, new metal. I don't know what you call what the fuck he does. We're going to talk about and then it all just broke out into absolute anarchy. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, like, I always like to check the front page of Fox News when reality comes through and smashes them in their delusional faces. And there was, a bunch of shit about Georgia being a disaster for Republicans. But at the very top of the right rail was a stand-up comedy routine. From a guy named Michael Loftus, who I've never heard of, who
not
is very
Jamie Loftus's father.
Not Jamie Loftus's father. But I just want to take y'all through the experience of watching a few minutes of that. We're going to do a Kardashian roundup. It's been too long.
Wait a minute. Too long.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza. All of that, plenty more. But first, Vanessa, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Something from my search history that's revealing about who I am was this week. And it was, what is a 401k? Cause I've pretended to know what that is for years now. Anytime it's been offered to me at a job or I've been told that it's something that's important, I nodded, and I've actually had zero idea what it is this entire time. And it's not that like, it's not that uncommon for me to feel like I missed out on like an important piece of life information and then just kind of like fake it until I'm like forced to learn what it is. I did that with tying my shoes until I was like 8. So I told everybody I knew how to tie my shoes, and then I just wore slip-ons until I was 8, and a girl on the playground finally showed me. And as an adult, I've done the same thing with like 401ks, the word caucus, because I still wasn't like entirely sure for like a couple years on what that was.
Right.
So like, once a month, I'll look something up that I feel like I should know, and try and like educate myself on that, so I don't feel like a moron when a job's like, "Oh, we're giving you a 401k," and I'm like, "I don't know why that's good."
You're like sick.
But I do appreciate it. Thank you very much. That was my first demand, and my second demand is explain to me what that means.
Please. What the other
and
letters
is do. Is a Roth IRA similar to the NRA at all? How does that? I mean, it's true. Like, I don't think I've really gotten my shit together in terms of financial literacy until my 30s. Like, because I think also because my 20s was spent not making money at all.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for me coming out of college, I'm like, oh shit, there's really not like jobs that even offer a 401k. So by the time I was getting offered, I was like, oh yeah, for sure. Let me get three of them then.
that's like, part of the
negotiation. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, at this point now, I think my next thing that I'm going to look up that I pretend to know what it is and I don't actually know is escrow. Don't know what being an escrow means. Or if you are an escrow or if you're in escrow, not a clue.
Escrow, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say.
Take a few for the road.
I do wonder. I always find out there are words that I've been using wrong. I wonder if I'm like what the breakdown is percentage-wise in terms of words that I actually know the meaning of and words that I'm just kind of situationally using vaguely correctly enough to get away with it. Because
escrow is one of those things. It's like when you're buying a house, you're like, right, because then you pay them the money for the house and you don't want. I remember being like, yeah, escrow for sure. And then when you start talking about like home buying and they're like, oh, it's just, you know, escrow is really stressful. I'm like, what the fuck is y'all talking about? But then when you realize, like, they just hold on to that money so no bullshit goes down as like a third party in between the people transacting. So.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Wow. Uh-huh. So if you're buying the house, you give the money to the escrow agent, right? They hold that money and then they distribute those funds to the seller. So that way, it's not just you giving the seller, oh, yeah, I got that check for you. That way, you know, they're like, it's, you know, you can trust that
we're good for it. Yeah.
And that's my very crude description of it. And real estate, banking, Zeit Gang, please feel free to sound off.
Yeah. Help me. I'm hopeless.
I do feel like a lot of banking is like gatekeeping where they are just using financial terms. Like, it's just a lot of like glossary shit like that. I'm sure they could come up with better, more intuitive descriptions of, but by calling it a number and then random series of letters, it creates jobs, right? It creates jobs for, white collar people, and that's important to America.
You
taxes. Someone's like, oh, you didn't fill out a Schedule C? I'm like, the what? They're like, yeah, you should probably hire me to do your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
What is something you think is underrated, Vanessa?
Underrated? My new favorite treat in quarantine, I think, is highly underrated, and every time I pitch it to someone, they think it sounds disgusting. But that is when you put the water in with your spicy ramen, putting one single slice of American cheese in there. It has to be American. It doesn't work with any other cheese.
Yeah.
It has to be something real processed that'll like disintegrate into nothing.
Yeah.
And like when somebody told me about this, I thought it sounded disgusting. It sounded like an awful, awful pitch. And then there's one day where I was just like, just stoned enough to where it sounded delicious. So I put like a slice or two like at the bottom of the bowl, threw the ramen in, mixed it up. Incredible. I feel like I've been robbed of years of not having better instant ramen at home, because it, first of all, the whole thing just smells like spicy mac and cheese after a certain point. And it almost gets like a tonkatsu broth texture, since it's like a fat based that just disintegrates into the bowl instead of like a stringy cheese. I now always have American cheese at home for it. Deeply underrated. Put one slice of American cheese in your ramen.
Wow. I don't know what. It's like one of those things I heard at first. I'm like, this is anathema to me. I don't know what this person is saying. But as you kept going, I began to see the light, and now what kind, you're just using, like, what kind of ramen?
Just Kraft?
Just top rizzy? Top rizzy?
Well,
or like I either fancy do a, styrofoam
like
bullshit.
Fancy. Like shin ramen?
Okay. Okay, so like you get the, like, the Korean instant ramen jump offs, like the spicy ones. Oh, got it. And then, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because then you have that bouncy noodle.
Yeah.
And then the creamy broth.
Who told you about
that
this?
Now is like, so it was one of those like YouTube daisy chains where I saw it watching, cause I've been watching a lot of YouTube people just eat food and cook things lately. Cause like it's my version of going outside or having friends right now. And so it was on the Emmy Maid channel and she saw it from Roy Choi. And I guess he does butter.
The OG Korean LA stoner. Yeah. Gotta give it up to him. Yeah. I mean, Roy Choi, like his whole shit is like, I'm high and I love food. And yes, I'm going to give y'all some shit you didn't even think of yet.
Exactly. And that was one of those where like I realized I had almost everything in the kitchen. I ran around the corner to the liquor store and like picked up a thing of American cheese. And it just became my like new favorite, just had an edible treat. It's fantastic. Wow. Cannot recommend it enough.
I'm loving it.
American cheese is just generally, I feel like, underrated. I've, you know, I went through a phase where I was into, you know, better cheeses, cheeses that come in a cheese in the cheese case section of the grocery store.
Right.
And now I'm coming back around on American. It's it is American, right? It's the most American thing. It's very processed.
Yeah.
It is not real. Not a form of matter that should exist. Like the fact that it turns into a liquid at like 80 degrees, it's just like it immediately goes liquid, is unnatural, but it's I don't know. I'm glad it exists. Yeah.
I've been so mean to it for so long, but like, honestly, it does the job it's supposed to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People used to complain that there wasn't real milk in it. I'm good with that. Like, yeah.
Half the time just for the texture. Right. I just need goo on my sandwich, like, or my burger or whatever, grilled cheese. It's just goo. It's just the texture.
It's it's shelf stable ish glue. It's the official cheese of the apocalypse. You can have it for like the entire time and it goes on everything.
Mm. Just a nice room temp Coca-Cola classic and handfuls of American cheese. That's what's going to still be around in 100 years. What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, God. So I've had two of these, so I can finally compare and contrast. And if you had an enjoyable one, hell yeah. But I'm going to say, for the most part, weddings are real overrated. I've had two. The one that didn't work out was the one that I like put all the time into planning, invited all the people, did the gift registry, like had the dress and the tuxedo, then just did the whole thing.
Right.
And the entire time, other than like, you know, the first wedding being like, I don't want to actually be here. It was also just like stressful, not fun. And like, I felt like it was made for other people to enjoy it way more than the actual people that were getting married. And then when I got married this year, I got married on Halloween. It was just me and my husband. We wore Halloween costumes. We invited no one. We had champagne and wedding cake in bed. We just ate it with our hands, and it was exactly what I needed it to be. Because it was just like, I'm ready for the after stuff. I don't want to like sit there and figure out who do I like enough to invite to a wedding and then deal with the fallout of like who doesn't come. And also, we're in a pandemic, so there shouldn't like be big weddings. But even then, like, I feel like I'd rather just throw a big ass party than go through the entire process of having like a wedding and that whole ceremony. And I realized I also had a lot of anxiety about the idea of like being the bride and being the one that has to like walk down the aisle and all the weird ceremony of it and all the people staring at me and like the dad handing me off because I go from belonging to one person to another, and that just that just didn't vibe with me. So I'm gonna say weddings are overrated.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of people, that's like been the one sort of traditional thing a lot of people have been to like rethink, especially in the pandemic, of like, what does it mean? What, like, what's important about it? Is it for us? Is it for other people? Because yeah, like I find myself thinking the same way. Like, does it, do you want to have the wild party where it feels like everything, you know, you've been told a wedding is? Or do you kind of just distill it down to like, yo, what's the vibe I want? Because a fun wedding to me really isn't about dressing up a certain way. It's that like your people are together and you're having a good fucking time. And maybe that'll be the byproduct of it all.
What costumes? What were you for your wedding?
I just went for like generic devil because I had a red dress that I really wanted to wear. So I like got some horns that I like put into a veil and like some pitchfork earrings and stuff like that. And I had a pitchfork bouquet that I was going to use, but I ended up snapping it in half because I was playing with it too much.
That's awesome.
Like, I had it for like a week.
That would have been dope to throw. You should keep that and throw it. Well,
just spear it at the courthouse.
And then, all right. Who wants to get married next with only one eye?
Ooh, although fun fact about my husband's wedding outfit. So he was a Dracula, but like I put mine together from stuff I had in like Halloween costume shops. My husband used to be a professional boxer in Thailand, and while he was there, he met like a dude that makes like suits and stuff. So he sent him his sizes to get like a Dracula suit made for him with like a cape and everything. Shit. And his designer in Thailand is like this older Sikh Indian man who doesn't really get like a lot of cultural references. So he like sends my husband a message and he's like, my friend, I found this beautiful fabric that has it's gold and it has all these bats on it. And I put it in the lining of your suit. You're going to love it. And then a few days later, he responds and goes, my friend, I'm sorry. I've made a mistake. It turns out that those bats are a logo from a character called Batman. My husband just had secret Batman lining on the inside of a suit.
Batman, everyone's favorite Dracula.
Hell yeah.
Best Dracula.
What is Batman's relationship to Draculas and vampires? I mean, it seems like they would at least know each other.
They gotta be like cousins.
Right.
Oh my god.
All right, let's get into what went down in Georgia two nights ago, Tuesday night. You know, it was a similar rhythm to the presidential election in that, like, the results looked very positive for Republicans. If you were just looking at, you know, they were up by a couple percentage points when I first tuned in, and then just slowly, you know, the Kornacki of it all, they were like, yeah, actually the Democrats look like they're going to win, which you'd think, I don't know, like, are they doing that on purpose? Are the Republicans doing that on purpose so that it looks like they're, so that it amps up the feeling of outrage among the Republican base, or what? Why are we hitting this same rhythm every time?
Because motherfuckers been saying the mail-in ballots are a fraud and a joke
and suppressing
the whole time. So when those are the last votes left to count, they're all ending up being massively Democratic leaning.
Right.
So then it's like, yeah, all you motherfuckers have voted on Tuesday, sure. But then we got all these other ones that y'all really don't fuck with. And that is all, like, it's just that shift that occurs. And it was the same, people on Twitter, especially right-wing Twitter, were like, oh, it's happening again. They're counting the mail-in ballots that are for the Democrat because they were more energized in this. I hate to see it. But, it was really something. I mean, this is... you know, the sweeping the Stacey Senate Abrams. Runoff was like a huge thing that needed to happen for, you know, Joe Biden to have a somewhat easy time legislatively, like getting nominees mm-hmm. through and other bills and things like that. You know, McConnell will now be minority leader if he still keeps his leader position. But I think what's, you know, the punditry of it all is the same shit again, but ramped up even more. You know, like have to go, wow, they really pulled that off, knowing everybody knows it's the activists and organizers on the fucking ground in Georgia that turned these motherfucking votes out. Stacey Abrams, everybody involved. Tremendous shout out to these people who actually have been ignoring the quote unquote conventional wisdom that said Georgia is unflippable. And they're like, No. Georgia's just rat fucked to hell and people can't vote properly. And we just need to unclog that and watch what happens. And that's what we're seeing happening. Yeah. So now I think the conversation is, did Democrats beat Republicans or did Trump fuck his own party? Who really won this? And the answer is yes to all of it.
Just a sweeping yes. Like it's one of those things I've been thinking a lot about when it comes to just like organizer movements and how everybody looks at it. Like it's this huge mythical thing where it's like, how does that even happen? How does that even work? And it's always by the people that like don't have faith and don't put money into digital campaigns, put the idea of like appeasing, you know, reaching across the aisle versus just like, hey, what do the actual like people on the ground want? What do the actual people involved desire to see? And every time it happens, they act like some magical spell occurred when it's just focus on where your audiences are, actually hear what they want to say. Ta-da! The work went into it, actually did something.
Be humane, give people support, and they will love it. Because that's the whole fucking rub of it all, is people are just like dying, quite literally, from a lack of support from the government. And... yeah, I think, you'd hope that Joe Biden can look at this and say, this is, you know, activists and the progressive wing are going to make this thing easier for you. You need to actually begin to see that as a mandate of people saying, we need you to go all gas and no brakes on changing shit up and making shit equitable. Stop this no. Like the people are speaking. Yeah, the incrementalism is just violence in slow-mo. And I think we really need, you know, you'd hope that this message gets across that this is something that has to be recognized, or you're going to do the same thing like with Obamacare when he was the vice president. You took a thing that really would have helped people and then made it a Republican version of it. And then look what happened. Yeah. People were like, the whole point was we needed medical care, and then you gave us a half-assed version of it. Just go full mode on it. And people were like, thank you. You heard me. Thank you so much.
Written by insurance executives. That is who wrote the Obamacare legislation, was in former and current insurance company executives. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and keep talking about this. And we're back. Miles, you were saying you were watching MSNBC and they had Claire McCaskill on.
She's always on, the former senator. Wonderful, wonderful establishment piece of trash. you know, because again, this whole thing, right? The people of Georgia, when they looked at exit polls, it was very clear that the people of Georgia are like, we want fucking help. We need help financially. We are being completely upended by this pandemic and the lack of support. And so, you know, this is a big thing that acknowledging the people, right? And that's what Joe Biden was saying. He was dangling $2,000 checks in front of people. He was like, hey, you give me Georgia and this money will come flowing real quick. And, you know, so you think, okay, wow, this seems like maybe we can, again, right before a break, we're saying give a little more energy to the progressive wing. But Claire McCaskill, just off top, the first thing she has to say when they talk about, wow, what a win in Georgia. She's like, you can't say enough about, obviously, the women of color, black women, Stacey Abrams, all of the black people of Georgia, the blacks and people like just going, yeah, we have to thank them. But But, ooh. And this is when I was like, where the fuck is this going? She's like, Trump also did this to himself. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, okay. Get fucked, you absolute fart mummy. Like, what are you talking about? Like, don't fucking kneecap the contributions of these people to do unprecedented shit. Yes, Donald Trump is also unprecedented, but to put the energy that was put into this and to go along and be like, yeah, but Trump also fucked himself, as if to basically say, let's not give that too much momentum. Let's not give this narrative that there are people who understand how people are like actually interacting with voting and like the political process. And it's bad news for the establishment. Let's not give that too much momentum. Let's just keep it Trump, Trump, Trump.
Right. If you accept that, you know, other southern states, other states that are traditionally viewed as red states are actually just, you know, suppressed purple or blue states, then you really get momentum. You can really start affecting change. And, you know, we've seen frequently that with establishment Democrats like Claire McCaskill, that seems to be something they fear just as much as a, you know, Republican majority, if not more, because with a Republican majority, they at least get to keep the status quo where they're
yeah.
in power rich, and they rich. Perform rich, their, rich. Yeah, they perform their roles. Of,
yeah. Not, know, the, not the younger, angrier, like more aware of what the actual situation is crop of politicians who are just going to straight talk shit. And they're like, oh God, this is a little too heavy. And the other thing I want to say is Claire McCaskill went on to say that the most powerful people in Congress going forward in this Biden administration are going to be the ones that reach across the aisle.
Fuck off.
Eat a whole fuck bag off. Of shit, Claire. They're, come on now. These people are in an active campaign to kill us. And you still want to patronize us with this, oh, you know, like let's try and work with the murderers for progress take. No, absolutely not. We saw what happened with that. We've seen their agenda. It's antithetical to what the people voted for.
I feel like every time I hear like let's take a look across the aisle, like it always comes from someone that's like, oh, like, you know, I want equality and I want progress, but the thing is, they want it in equal to the oppressive party. Like they don't want it for everyone. They want it in they want it for them with the current. They want to be equal to the oppressor. They want to be equal to the oppressor. They don't. It's reaching across the aisle is, but let me have some of this. But fuck everyone else. And every time I hear it, it's just that buzzword for that kind of person.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, because I think if you.
Share some of that. Share some of that right. power.
But even it, what it says is reach across the aisle means keep the shit in place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep the seat of, you know, let white supremacy still have its seat at the table. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's ensure that we reach across that fucked up aisle, because that there really is no aisle a lot of the mm-hmm. time. It's just that, like, look, at the end of the day, it's really going to be rich people versus working poor people. That's really what it's set up, but we're still kind of like, well, what color is it going to be? This whole concept of it is just like, I think it's really disingenuous, and it's an insult to the actual people who are like devoting out countless hours of their lives to right the wrongs of voter suppression and things like that, to ensure good outcomes for people, to then say like, let's now water down the progress.
And when you look across the aisle at what is happening on the other side of the aisle, the people who they're supposedly want to reach across to, they are, you know, the next morning, yesterday morning, they were full mask off, white supremacy declaring war on the institutions that Democrats and, you know, that the mainstream is supposedly so fond of. They were just full on. You know, Donald Trump Jr., in addition to, you know, reprising their, it's funny how, like, they're doing these, like, weird stand-up routines about, like, their grievance, white fragility politics, at the same time that they're actually asking people to declare war on the country. Right. But like that's what's happening. And you know, Ted Cruz and people who are actual senators who Claire McCaskill is talking about reaching across to are actively, like, whether they'll say it or not, that's what they're actively standing up for in on the floor of the Senate.
Yeah. And that whole rally, you know, that was going on in DC, the president lit, you know, he, the sitting fucking president kicked off this shit from his rally. You know, he was letting people know, we need to go, we need to pull up, y'all. And they did. I just want to play this one part of the rally where he's quite literally being like, we're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue.
We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol, and we're going to try and give, you know, the Democrats are hopeless. They're never voting for anything. Not even one vote. But we're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help. We're going to try and give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country.
So cut to thousands pride. Of people storming the United States Capitol building. And we have fascists trying to enter the building to interrupt the electoral vote counting process in the hopes of overturning the will of the voters who had voted for Joe Biden. That was the scene that followed this rally. And as we're recording, it is still turned the fuck up at the Capitol building. I just saw a clip of a woman bleeding like on a gurney being rushed out of the Capitol building. Like this is a thing, like we were saying before, this has been a constant just simmer that this shit has been on. And now that we're getting closer and closer to payday, basically being like, you know, whether it's the QAnon thinking Trump's going to drop some weird receipts on like the Great Awakening or whatever the fuck, or somehow he's going to be president. When that doesn't happen, what that reckoning is going to look like, we're seeing the beginnings of that, which is like, Oh shit, he lost. Okay, so we need to pull up to the Capitol building and put everyone at risk. I mean, not just themselves, the people that work in the Capitol, the fucking people who live around Capitol Hill. It's not just, you know, the angry people versus inanimate object. It's become a full on violent attempt to who knows what. I don't even know what they could do substantively aside from just destroy everything and cause, you know, violence.
Yeah.
No, white supremacy is like, I mean, they will say this in like reports, but it'll never get to the like front, the headlines of the mainstream media. But white supremacy is the biggest national security threat America faces going forward. And it's whether it's in the form of, yeah, well, since the beginning, yeah, but like absolutely, like in the traditional like ways that the mainstream media has always, honored, like bombings, blowing up downtown Nashville, whether it's in the form of conspiracy theories or just outright, you know, Proud Boy shit or, you know, pro-Trump trying to overthrow the votes of people of color or parts of states that where people of color are more predominant. Like that is, they are committing violence in the name of those things. And it's, it can't be overstated. Like that is what's going on. That needs to be a focus going forward. Like it just needs to flip fully that's where we're at.
I don't even know, you know, what are they going to do next? I don't know we're going to just see this evolve, but right
where do
now,
we go from here?
It's, you look at people storming the Capitol building and you're like, well, at least they're not like blowing it up or whatever. But like, as soon as you go through that, you're like, what am I saying? Because first of all, I just spent the summer watching cops pull up in motherfucking APCs and tanks and all kinds of military hardware because people were upset they're shooting people of color with impunity. You know, that people are peacefully protesting against white supremacy. That's then, okay, we'll bring in the fucking tools. White people are straight up fucking up the Capitol. And I'm like, oh my God. Wow, this is exactly what we're seeing. That privilege extend to the point where they're like, they're allowing or an underestimating or whatever has happened here. I think it's just America showing her face again too. Like we're seeing it absolutely. In so many different ways.
There's just not that urgency that there would be if it was any other cause that was, any other hate group, any other form of extremism that was being enacted in the Capitol. Now, there is this weird undercurrent that I wanted to call out because just in watching Donald Trump Jr.'s speech and watching Trump's speech, you know, you played a clip where he's talking about basically storming the Bastille, like going down. We're gonna take the power of the country into our own hands, make them basically physically threaten them with violence into doing, you know, into overturning a democratic election. But there's also this undercurrent where they're doing like bad stand-up comedy, and it's strange because, you know, we talked about it yesterday with Donald Trump Jr. Doing his thing about
amen, a woman.
He did that again at this rally.
He did that same entire joke.
Yes, womenu, and said bullshit. And he didn't do the womenu. He moved on to saying, you know, they just did a study. Keeps pointing to his head and like doing this like weird gesture he has. It's like a doy.
You guys seen this?
They just did a study. The trans women in sports have an advantage over other women. No shit. That was his thing. And then Fox News had to cut away because he was being too real, man. And then first of all, it should be noted, Karen Loeffler put her energy. That's just the nickname the president has for her.
You know,
put her energy. Like somebody pointed out on Twitter, they're like all she did while she was in office was like put forth these like bills that were basically identity politics, like culture war grievance bullshit that like didn't even get to the floor. They were just eating shit. And she ate shit in the first time she faced actual electors. But also like the president only has one gear. And so while like before and after he's telling people to enact violence and overthrow the US government, he's also talking about how Hillary must be so mad they didn't steal the election for her. And he just like has this weird, it sounds like a bad stand-up routine. And then when I went over to Fox News, they had a dude just straight up doing stand-up on the front page, like at the top of the front page of Fox News, as the Capitol building is being stormed, as the Senate was evacuated.
There's photos of the Secret Service with their Glocks like pointed out of the chamber.
Yeah.
And it looks like they were busting their gun, like the windows are broken. This shit is I don't even like, because right now it's happening in real time. So I couldn't tell you what is actually like what when the dust settles, what's actually going to happen. But it is severe at the moment. And I can't. And even like after this, apparently the president tweeted later on. He's like, please respect the Capitol Police and be peaceful. It's like you just
you just told them to go
start march to the Capitol to, you know, take back our country. What the fuck did they think was going to happen? But again, this was always going to happen. And yeah. And meanwhile, while that's happening, Fox is like, enjoy this shit stand up.
Yeah. What? But I think that's, they are recognizing something important, that like the most important part of Trump is the fact that he did this like weird, shitty riffing stand up. And they're trying to replace that with this dude, Michael Loftus. Is it too weird to listen to a clip from this dude? Cause it's
obviously very dark times,
but, let me just, he opens by doing, here, let's just play at 1:49, how he opens his show.
Also hilarious that this is like their version of the violins playing on the Titanic.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
This is... Oh my God. Right. There was also talks, though, at some of the rallies, people were, the Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On was blaring at some of the events.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm not even joking. Like, that was in, I think, the New York Times or something, like, noted that. They're like, even as Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On plays, they still are. Anyway, here's Michael Loftus's stand-up opening.
We could get that. That was fantastic. I like it here. I want to open up with a quick impression.
Oh, geez.
This is Joe Biden on a Zoom call. Okay, thank you. This is, I know. This is Joe Biden just in regular life. Thank you. Just wrote that. Wrote that backstage.
So that's his opener. Is basically when you're seven and somebody like a 7 year old's making fun of you and is basically saying, "This is you, a doy oy 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 oy." That's his opener. He goes on to he talks about how there's a curfew in Nashville, which is a fair thing to argue against. Curfews are questionable and not fair to working people and just an excuse for police to arrest people in a lot of cases who are out after dark, but instead he uses it as an opportunity to do a racist Chinese accent personifying the coronavirus.
Oh, yes.
And then goes on a whole riff on how masks are stupid because they don't protect your eyes. Just like the perfect embodiment of American self. Like, if you only view it as this is protecting me and not like protecting people around me from me, then his point could be seen as making sense, but
is it that, like, because I think the sort of elegance, if there is elegance to what Trump is doing, right, is that he is sort of articulating the nihilism American people feel and just being like, fuck it, you know what I mean? Because he doesn't, like, his whole thing's like, I don't respect this shit, like, look, it's just dumb. And that's when people are like, yeah, man, this shit is dumb, because they can't quite connect the dots of, like, you know, predatory capitalism upending their lives and like how there's just no structures in place to support you. So I don't know if that's what's just purely like this tactic of like, let's just call the thing dumb in as many ways as possible. And like that has appeal, because if we start getting all wonky or whatever, then we can't appeal to the, you know, truly apathetic people who we want to bring on board.
And wonkiness is dumb. Like a lot of the way that people who are career politicians and the mainstream media talks is ridiculous and, you know, is a vestige from a previous period that, like, it's not clear why it exists. But they're like finding that little toehold of truth and then making it into just a chance for them to, you know, say things that make old white guys be like, can he say that?
Right.
And and then confusing us just being like, yeah, no, he can say that. We don't have to like it, and we can use what he says to draw conclusions about him and the people who like what he's saying. Those are the consequences. Right. We're not throwing, I don't know. It's very frustrating. But it also, it seems like I think we're seeing that's like a bigger part, like the fact that I think when you're picturing the ultimate end point, and like I had said, somebody pointed out that on my 2020 predictions, on our 2020 predictions episode, my prediction was that Trump would lose and not accept the results of the election. And that was just based on like paying attention to
watching
what he was saying, like listening to what he was saying and taking it seriously. But when we were all picturing that he wasn't going to do it, I don't think we were picturing him doing a 20-minute chunk on like how Hillary must be pissed that she didn't get, like, you know, it's not, we didn't picture him still doing Trump jazz, but like that is a big silly part of what his appeal is to these people who are now going and putting their lives on the line.
Right.
So yeah, that's just stupid, but also probably worth paying attention to.
Yeah. And again, honestly, watching the news, like on cable, it's like so infuriating the way these people are talking about everything. Like, they're Katie Turr on MSNBC is like having a panic attack because she's so shocked that this is happening. And it, you're like, have you? Are you? Do you know how these people are talking? Do you know what their media diet is? Do you know? And this wasn't a if, it was a when question. And for them, again, this, the fact that they were surprised and not even saying anything like that, like to or at least indicating how surprised they are and how out of touch they are, like, shows you just how much we're up against in terms of what information is coming out of TV screens and how people are ingesting that and their wherewithal or understanding of what is happening in the country right now. It's really, it's something else.
Yeah.
On top of them loving Mitch McConnell's speech. I mean, all it was wild is all this violence at the Capitol. Like, we missed the part where Mitch McConnell tried to fucking scoot on out, like, with his dignity when they were counting the votes, because the vote count had to be halted because of the violence. But he truly tried. He threw the president under the bus, called it conspiracy theories, and found a backbone at the 11th hour. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here with this motherfucker. You were the ringleader for the last forever.
Yeah. And he's already and now being you applauded. Act like
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, Anna Navarro just tweeted, like, oh, it made me stand up and clap. And I'm like, how? He's saving his neck gills.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They think, oh, because he switched his turtle shell up to sympathetic and sorry, that we're going to fucking forget all that. Come on now.
Bullshit. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the Kardashians. And we're back, and we can all exhale because it is once again time to talk about the Kardashians.
I'm so psyched.
Yeah.
Just as a small appetizer, Kylie.
Small appetizer.
Small appetizer to the main dish.
And then Moose Boosh, if you will. Talk.
Kylie is selling hand sanitizer with $6 plus shipping and handling, and it is the exact same hand sanitizer that you can get for $1 at CVS, but it says Kylie Skin on it.
So, yeah. $7,
Kylie
baby.
Skin.
It's fucked up because it's like, you know, people are dying. Money is not moving around as it should be. People are not supportive yet. You know, child billionaire Kylie is like, what if I started siphoning money out of these people's pockets vis-a-vis sanitizer products? And it's really fucking cynical. I mean, like, just think, it's so inappropriate right now, given where the country's at, that you have Kylie Jenner thinking like, well, it has glycerin, therefore it's the Kylie vibes, when again, like you're saying, you can get that shit. There's plenty of sanitizer that will not dry out your hands that is not $7 plus shipping.
A lot of them have it. And it's also like, not that It's not that shocking, considering like the thing that like put the Kylie makeup line on the map, the lip kits, the Kylie lippies. Those formulas were almost unmistakable from the ColourPop formulas that were like known in makeup to be like the cost affordable standard. Almost identical, nearly double, triple the price. Like, every single one of the Kardashian business models is take what somebody else is doing for cheaper, do the exact same thing, and then put my name on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I will say that I have been falling a victim to this. I do have lip plumper on. No, I've been falling victim to celebrity endorsements since, you know, I learned that Gatorade is Kool-Aid with salt in it. Still kept buying that shit because it had Michael Jordan commercials.
But I love it.
I love it too much. But, all right, let's talk about what we're all really here to talk about as the nation's capital is under physical assault. What we're really here to talk about is Kim and Kanye are reportedly on the brink.
What happened? You know, they said he wasn't around for the holidays. She made him go to the Wyoming to stay away so she can get the fucking separation divorce thing rolling. She says she has had it. But there's multiple. The thing it's messy because there are so many weird stories and half-truths coming out. Like, there's one version, Kanye is sick of being on a reality show and the circus of being married to a Kardashian. Or Kim is just sick of Kanye's behavior. Another one said, quote, now this divorce is happening because Kim has grown up a lot. She is serious about taking the bar exam and becoming a lawyer. She is serious about her prison reform campaign. Meanwhile, Kanye is talking about running for president and saying other crazy shit. Their words, not mine. And she's just had enough of it. So I don't know what that is. Or there's the messiest thing that we saw, which was this unfounded rumor that started gaining traction on the internet, was saying that Kanye was cheating on Kim Kardashian with Jeffree Star.
Wild out of left field.
Way out of left field. Racist YouTube makeup person with, I don't know. It's just all, it's all happening for them at the moment.
I've long time thought myself as a Kimye Nostradamus. Wow. Long before they even got married, like back when Kim was married to that baseball player for like a minute.
You mean basketball player Chris Humphries?
Was it basketball? Thank you. I don't sports in me.
You never claimed to be a Kim Chris Humphries Nostradamus.
Oh yeah. The sportsman. She was married to the sportsman briefly. And like even before that and during the marriage, they were always hanging out together. Like he would mention her offhand in interviews as like his best friend who he like respected and admired. Even when he like had his partners while she was with Chris Humphries and beforehand, they were always talking about each other in a way where I was like, they're going to date and then they're going to get married. And then they did. And the one where I was like, oh, they're definitely going to get divorced, was the Met Gala in which Kim came out in the dripping wet Mugler dress.
In the dripping wet what dress?
It's a dress by a designer named Mugler, and it made it look like she was dripping wet the whole time. It was like skin tight.
Right.
Had like crystals hanging off of it, and she had like her hair slicked back. And then And then Kanye was in like some Hunger Games game stuff.
just his sweats, right?
Just like... like it was a pretty boring getup for him, but like, you know, she went all out. And I guess they had like a blow up argument beforehand where he was just like, you can't keep dressing like this and yada, yada, yada. And it was the kind of argument where she was like, yeah, you know, I really have to start seeing myself as like a mother and you know, checking how I like present myself, that I was like, oh, they're on the outs. That's going to start happening soon. Mm. And then when the hologram thing happened, that solidified that they had to be getting a divorce, because that's the shit you do when you're like making a last ditch effort to say, I'm sorry.
That's
like,
super extra.
Oh, conjuring extra. The dead dad. Please stay conjuring with Kanye, who is a genius, super genius.
I know that move. I've done that move. One time I knew this dude was going to break up with me. No, but I fixed his toilet, even though I didn't know how to fix a toilet.
That's a form of necromancy.
Yeah, and then when I instead fucked up a pipe and a friend came over, he was like, oh, this is the kind of thing you do when you know you're going to get dumped. And I was like, oh, no. which was true. And that's what that is. Robert Kardashian, like the hologram, that is fixing a toilet for a dude that you know is going to dump you, even though you don't know shit about plumbing.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing about that was they were saying when he unveiled the hologram, he showed up late and left early. Like he came there, played it, and was out. So it sounds like that definitely tracks now that you're saying it, because it's just a creepy hologram, and then whatever. They were saying that in all these write-ups, though, that the biggest point of contention will obviously be money, specifically around their beige Calabasas hell house. And it's like a weird situation because Kim owns the land, like, and all the lots around it, but Kanye owns the physical home. So enter celebrity lawyer Laura Wasser to represent Kim K.
We know her.
Friend of the network. We'll see what happens, who's going to get what. I wonder, but apparently Kim wants to stay there because that's where her kids are growing up and living. And she's like, this dude has a ranch, like, just fuck off somewhere else. So I guess that'd be cool to even have problems like that, where you'd be like, how are we going to split up our gazillion-dollar fucking compound?
Just push it off the land. Yeah. Just keep pushing it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also these costumes, and I wasn't paying attention to this, but people were sharing images where it was like a family picture where everybody's in costumes. And there are two examples where the Kanye figure is wearing a mask where you can't see his face. And people were like, yo, that's not Kanye.
Stand in? Come on. Oh, no. Does it seem like it could be, though?
I think it is.
Okay.
You think it's him?
No, I think it isn't because the height difference looks weird to me.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Dashologist in the building.
Like, I held up like red carpet perspective photos and I was like, all right, this heel is this, like on Nordstrom's website, it says it's this many inches. So therefore, she's like at this point with this height. So I was like, doesn't match up.
But what's the focal length of the lens that was used on that camera?
Exactly.
There are behind the scenes pictures that appear to have Kanye without the mask on, but very easily photoshopped. You can photoshop anything these days.
I mean, you know, yeah. I hope this will be for the better for both of them, you know, because it didn't seem like this was the best thing for either of them. So hopefully this will be an improvement.
Where in his discography did they get together? Was it after My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy? Because that was like a breakup record for
Amber Rose.
Amber Rose, I think, or at least some of it was.
I know some of it was Amber Rose. That's one where I've been like trying to figure out when it started, and I wholeheartedly feel like it was before release. Because I remember being in many doctor's offices and like seeing those interviews of like them talking about each other kind of ramping up, where it's just like, I consulted him when I was working on this. I consulted Kim on like the aesthetics of this. So that's when I thought it was like starting to like ramp up into something.
Yeah.
They've been in their lives a lot longer than like what has been openly media portrayed. And I truly wonder if this is going to be like a dark, twisted fantasy situation. Or if we're like, if we're just waiting on like a Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy.
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him like going back to Earth, coming back to Earth in any way.
I mean, his work again, but you never know, you know?
You never know.
You never know, because even, you know, I didn't think Pablo would be a good album, or I wouldn't like Pablo, but I liked that more than Yeezus, and that was in the midst of the Kim Kaness.
Yeah.
So who knows? I don't know. Anything is possible, including a violent coup in the United States, apparently, right now, which is fucking unsettling.
All right. And finally, Pizza Hut. It is the 25th anniversary of the stuffed crust pizza being introduced in 1995. Yeah. It's actually the 26th, but they decided to put the brakes on the celebration that we had all been waiting for. It's kind of the 25th anniversary of the stuffed crust pizza is sort of the Olympics for us. And you can always delay it a year. It's no big deal.
Right, right.
And the way they're celebrating is by claiming that people have been asking for just the crust without the pizza part. And so they've released what is essentially a very skinny bagel with cheese inside of it, a.k.a. nothing but stuffed crust. No pizza. God. And they're like, see, you know, people have been, since we introduced it, people have been asking for it. And that's not true, obviously.
Right.
First of all, pizza off my pizza.
You're a herb if you buy that shit. Do not pay money for the stuff. Just get you the one that has the pizza and you have a better deal.
Yes.
You have more food. Also, they could have easily made that in stick form and just put more in the box.
Right.
Yeah, right, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. It is the biggest waste of box I've ever seen. It's just an empty box with a little crust around the edge.
I don't want to see anybody talk shit about Little Caesars after this. They've done nothing but like
make hits.
Be a pizza for the people.
Yeah.
And at least when they up the game, like they do it in ways that appeals to stoners, you know, or like, okay, Little Caesars, I see you. Where Pizza Hut, sometimes I'm like, okay, you're doing a lot over there. You're just like a big stunt queen. And I like the OG factor of Pan Loco at Little Caesars.
Yeah. Pizza Hut is when you take the idea of like the sort of philosophy that they, that Yum! Brands brings to Taco Bell and be like, okay, how do we reinvent this? It's like, yo, just make good pizza. Like, you have one product, you have one job. Stop fucking around. Just make good, make the pizza that you make as Pizza Hut better. Right. And we will be on board. Yeah, they're always coming up with, are you guys, like, where does Pizza Hut fall in your rankings of the big four with Domino's, Papa John's, Little Caesars?
Papa John's is not part of the, no, it's like the, it's like Russia. Yeah. They're not in the G8 anymore or the G20 or whatever. You're out. I'm sorry. I don't know
some
you.
Some people like their pizza to taste,
that's
like
fine.
It,
that's fine.
It has melted
and
Skittles
that's
on
fine.
It.
And we talked about this before. I don't have a problem with people different opinions. That's fine. Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying I'm not going to eat that shit because I don't it. I like, what's funny is Pizza Hut Pan Pizza is the greasiest shit ever and I love the fuck out of it. But Domino's,
personal pan or the big pan?
Whatever. Pan as long as it's pan. Yeah, as long as they got that grease bottom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But with Domino's, we've talked about this before. They've been in the lab. They got the crust right. And I want to eat the whole pizza. But there's something about just like butter slice of Pizza Hut pizza that is still very comforting to me when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've actually learned that you can butter your pieces of Domino's pizza and you get the best of both worlds.
Totally done that.
Oh, shit. Wow.
So reheating pizza in a pan is actually...
right.
We've talked before about a good way to reheat pizza. And there's nothing wrong with butter in that pan before you reheat it. I'm just saying. Give
you
it
a
little
in a bit
of butter.
Cast iron? You got a good crispy butter bottom.
Mm. Anyways, I've never really fucked with Pizza Hut. Like from when I was a kid, I've always been a Domino's boy, and I think they've gotten better and better.
They have more customization options. Like Domino's, I feel like spent so long apologizing to us for bad pizza.
Right.
They gave us everything they wanted. Domino's has apologized for like bad pizza more than most people have for like, you know, like hate crimes or treason.
Right. Like, yeah. Or like bad jokes on Twitter.
Yeah, they like put whole campaigns into like, sorry, our pizza sucked. Here's more customization options. Here's heated ovens in the vans as we like transport it to you. So it's like super hot when it still gets to you. I love that Pizza Hut personal pizza. Little Caesars is like my tippy top because that's just my like, I'm tired and I got a $5 pizza and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
I am real sad that Pizza Hut brought back the Pizzones and they suck now.
Oh, really?
They did? Oh, man.
They used to be great, but now they taste like weird, soft, like pizza donuts, and like they're like too sweet. And it's, I don't know. They're just, I miss the OG Pizzone.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's totally fair.
We also miss the Final Four promotional basketballs that Pizza Hut used to give out for free.
Yeah.
A large pizza.
Oh, man. That is.
Remember those basketballs, boy?
Those things were so dope.
Look, you young kids don't know about those shitty street. Well, no, they were regulation size. They got smaller, I think, after 93.
Yeah.
Okay. We had full size basketballs because that's what I remember at school. We would bring that shit to school to play on like our recess court and be like, oh, we got the new Pizza Hut ball.
One thing that our writer Jan was pointing out is that Pizza Hut so the stuffed crust pizza was a flop at first, and then they put out a $45 million ad campaign that hinged around a spot in which Donald Trump and Ivana Trump, who were in the middle of a public divorce, pretended like they were about to fuck, only to reveal that they were actually talking about eating a stuffed crust pizza.
How?
Crust first. I vaguely remember this. There is a video clip in the doc, but I won't.
She's like,
I think
Donald, you're going to eat from the back?
Ooh, you're gonna feel real bad about it from behind.
He's like, I don't give a fuck about the crust. I'm still in there, even the cheese. And you're like, oh shit, nasty.
The commercial was shot on a set meant to look like the Plaza, but obviously not the real Plaza because Trump had lost it to bankruptcy in 92. So even America's been lying about Trump to find a way to believe in this dude since the stuffed crust pizza.
Right.
But that's not the worst thing he's done. Probably.
Nah, not at all. I think we're seeing it right now.
Vanessa, it's been great having you on the show. Where can people find you and follow you?
They can find me on at Ness Gritton. Still got to get that last name changed legally, but it's hard during a pandemic. So Ness Gritton on all forms of social media. And you can find the podcast I'm co-hosting, Kicking and Screaming, under Kick Scream Pod on Oslo, all forms of socials.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, actually. One of my favorite accounts on Twitter is a comedian by the name of Jamie Carbone, who's just like, I don't know, everything he like puts out is just my favorite kind of brand of dumb. He's under Thick Sonic, T-H-I-C-C, and he had one that got me real bad, which was, now that The Great Gatsby is out of copyright, I'm going to add to it what it always needed, big honkin' anime titties. Love me some Jimmy Carbone. Love me some Thick Sonic.
There you go.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, man. Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. And if you like The Bachelor, I'm on this latest episode of Will You Accept This Rose with Lacey Mosley and Arden Marine and super producer Anna Hosnier, Katie Levine, everybody talking about the new Black Bachelor, Matt Jones. Or James, Maddie James. I misspoke. Now, see a tweet that I like. Everything's kind of about the coup right now. but this one from No Name, at No Name. White supremacy is willing to destroy itself so a slightly less white supremacist president doesn't take power. Fascinating.
No Name.
Yeah. CJ Toledano, a former guest, tweeted, I've never asked this out loud, but what are white people not allowed to do? Which is, I think, a fair question right now. But yeah, right. People are just responding to it. The headline on Twitter trending is House and Senate sessions in recess after protests lead to Capitol lockdown. That's not protests. That is terrorism. That's violence. That's rioting at the very least. Like, what the fuck are you talking
about? Being like, you know, because you could, I'm sure Fox will come do one-to-one comparisons of footage from the summer to this and be like, they're burning buildings down. I mean, what's the difference here? And a lot of it is actually not like taking the piece out where the police decide that they are no longer able to exercise their right to protest, try and disperse them, and then get into confrontations with protesters that lead to the, you know, this perceived, oh my God, the protesters are so violent, versus the Capitol. Like, the police, there are footage of, I don't even know what to say. I mean, just, this shit is overwhelming to even see, because it gets me so pissed off to know that people who are in the streets for the right reasons get brutalized and are intimidated to stand up for what is good and right and proper. And then you have people like this out here and they're just kind of like, I don't know, let them tear the shit up. It's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this mess upon?
Ooh. I think we just need more Aquarian Dream. We need that more of that disco sauce to just kind of go into the twilight zone. This track is called Yesterday, and then in parenthetical says, was so nice today. And that just kind of feels like a weird sentiment right now, but I love just the overall vibes of Aquarian Dream, because it's like, it's just good. Like I said, you feel like Desmond in the fucking, you know, the hatch. And you got this shit banging.
Sauce.
You know what I mean? So there it is. Put it in your ears.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production by iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Yesterday was so nice today when you said my name.